Okay, so going further. So again, we're in the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel about whether you do 1-3 to 8 or 8-7-6. And we did yesterday, this is a Machlokes about whether you do Beis Hillel's reason. Again, there's a Machlokes Amoraim as to their reason. So one Amora said that it's Beis Hillel's saying that you do it the amount of days which have passed, and Beis Shammai is the amount of days which are coming. And we define that. So we have now... the question now is another attempt at explanation. Another Amora, we don't know who, but another Amora explains the reasons for the Machlokas differently. And he says like this. It says, so V'char Omar, we're up to, it's like on Chaf Alton Bay, is about halfway down. V'char Omar, time of the Beit Shammai, can I get Pari HaChag? So one of them says, so the reason for Beis Shammai is that it corresponds to Parei HaChag. So Parei HaChag are the cows that they brought on the Chag on Sukkos. So on Sukkos they have the amount of cows which were brought in the Karbanos and the Musaf was 13 on the first day and 12 and worked its way down till the end of Sukkos, and it totaled. In total, there were 70. There were 70 Parei HaChag. Okay, but they worked their way downwards. So this is just like the Parei HaChag. Rashi says, Parei HaChag, mismatim v'holchem. They get lesser and lesser as you go along. Be karbanos the parshas Pinchas, and the karbanos in parshas Pinchas. So just like those went downwards, so too Beis Shammai argues that the candles, you should go downwards, start with 8 and work your way down. So obviously the problem is, what's the connection between the Karbanos of Parei HaChag to Ner Chanukah? But that's what he says. Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so that's explanation of Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says, turn to Beis Hillel, the Ma'alim B'Kodesh Shem Aridin. Because the halacha is that in Kodesh, you go up. You're supposed to go up in Kodesh and not down. Okay? Up and not down. And that's the general principle. That principle comes up a lot. Like, for instance, if you have, let's say, a shul, so if you want to sell it, so you're allowed to sell it to buy something of higher Kedusha. There are levels in Kedusha. So to buy a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to. But to sell a shul and to make it into, let's say, a gym, so you can't do it because you're taking something down from its Kedusha. Or even to sell it to make it something of lesser Kedusha, which, I don't know the levels, but whatever. To buy it to get like a covering for a Sefer Torah, maybe. I don't know. Whatever the levels. There are levels. So the general principle is you go up, but we don't go down. Yeah.
Are there two different principles? One which relates to taking an entity and making it go up or down, and the other one which relates to
doing things?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know there are two separate principles. It's from one source. But it does seem the principle, I mean, it's definitely applied by entities. By tzitzis?
Lavan tchilas, then you finish up with the lavan.
Oh, ma'am kodesh. All right, because you go, first you do the lavan, then tchilas, so which ones?
Apparently the tchilas is less. So.
It's less, so you work your way up to the lavan.
Right.
You see, in order, the way you do it there is, so sometimes it orders events also. So I don't know, it's a good question. I mean, the truth is, I'm sure it's a sugya to go into. Of all the parameters and all applications of the Kodesh Shalom Aridin.
Question?
Yeah.
What was the question?
Oh, the question is, the Ma'alim B'Kodesh, is there two separate principles. One is applying to an object, which is designation, you raise its level of Kedusha and not decrease it. And a different principle applying to sequencing your actions, that you do an action which has a higher Kedusha than one of less, you know. You work your way up and not down. Because here it seems to be it's like in the way the ordering your actions, not in the chafza. But it seems somewhat generic. What are the sources? Again, the sources in the Torah were like some fine. They look like Gemara there in Menachos. One of them was like from you pick some strange reference that Moshe picked up the beams of the Luchos. Oh, but they say it's because Moshe did it and then no one else could do it. Because if you had Moshe, then you went to someone else, it would be lessening the level. And in Moridin. Oh yeah, it was like the Tzipoy Lamizbeach Ki Kadesh, by Korach. They already used the fire pans for Avodah, so now they couldn't just get rid of it. They had to use it for the Mizbeach. They couldn't lessen it in its Kedusha.
Yeah, it's two different sources, one from
Allah. Yeah, it's two separate things. I mean, it seems to be it's two principles. One is that you go up in Kodesh, and the other one is you're not allowed to go down in Kodesh.
What does that mean, you go up?
You go up.
You can or
You should. You should go up.
Oh, okay.
You should go up. I mean, it's a good question, but yeah.
It means you can't stay the same.
Yeah, I guess it means staying the same. But I don't know if halachically. It's a question is, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is I'm sure there's a whole sugya about when and where you apply it. Because, I mean, in theory, you could just... You can't keep moving on forever. So, I mean... And you can't say I'm just walking around and now I have to constantly, I have to do a mitzvah now because I have to go up. You know, so it's a good question of when and where you apply it. I guess we have to at least try to understand the idea and how it's applying here. But again, it's possible that we're going to be limited based upon, you know, I think we're going to have to be, we're not going to do the whole sugya now. But maybe we could do the best we could do given our limited knowledge of that area. Yeah. Okay, so again, but that's like a general principle. I mean, it's easier to understand Beis Hillel. I mean, you have to understand the principle and the sense behind it, but it's a little bit easier to understand him because that's a general principle. It's a universal principle that we always go up. I mean, it's true. I mean, if the more sugyas you see, it does come up a lot. It comes up, Malach Hashem Oridan. But Parei Chag is like the one exception, you know, to the fact that we go down. And it's strange. And what does that mean to Ner Chanukah? Why? Because in Parei Chag, they went down, therefore we go down. It's random. It's just a totally random thing. And why don't you just go by the universal principle? Why are you picking on Parei Chag, which is itself an anomaly, and just applying that to Hanukkah? Okay, so Parei Chag, so there's a Rashi in the Torah on Parei Chag. So I think the right thing to do at this point is to look into Parei Chag a little bit, because otherwise, they're just going to make stuff. I have nothing to go on. So Parei Chag, so you have a Rashi, which is, Parei Chag is in Pinchas. Rashi there references to Pinchas. But, so it's in, I guess it's I think different Chumash I have in different places. But it's in this one, it's in Parei Chav Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph, kind of in the middle. It says, Parei Chag Shivanim, there's 70 altogether. Can I get Shivan Umos? It corresponds to the 70 nations of the world. Okay? Umismatim V'holchem. Because I guess that's the question, why do they go down? Why do they? Why not? What about Malam Kodesh? So it's a Simin Kliya Hulahem. It's a sign that they're going to be destroyed. Okay, that goes down because it's like referencing the fact that the nations of the world are going to be destroyed and they're going to go down. And in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, we would be, or these karbonos would protect them from the Yisurin. Okay, from bad things happening to them. Yeah. Yes. So that theme, that's what goes to Gemara in Sukkah. So Gemara in Sukkah says basically, it doesn't say it exactly like that, but it's the same kind of an idea that says, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, Hani Shivim Parim, can I get Shivim Mumas? So therefore the 70 nations. So Rashi says, he explains a little bit, so it's Shivim Parim. He says, no, so the world is judged for rain on Sukkot. Okay, that's in terms of God judges the world for rain based upon, I guess, their level, the world's level on Sukkot. Okay, so that's why we daven, we say Geshem, we say in davening, we include Geshem on Sukkot. So it says, Parei Chag Shivim Chutz Mishel Shmini. So there's 70 of them, except for the Shmini Atzeres, forget about that. Can I get Shivim Umos? L'chaper Aleihem, to be Mechaper, to atone for the 70 nations, Shiyor Dugashamim B'chol HaOlam. So that rain will fall in the entire world. L'fish Nidonim B'chag Alamayim, because the world is judged on Sukkot for on water. So it's saying, since Sukkot, the time where the world is judged, then there were nations including the Jews, and the Jew nations have sins, just like the Jews have sins, so they need a kapara, in order to give them a good zchus, to give them good merits in this din, this judgment on Mayim. So the Parei HaChag are karbanos, their sacrifices, which atone for the sins of the Goyim, and thereby allow them to have a greater, a better judgment for the water. It could be so people did tshuva. It doesn't necessarily mean even do tshuva, you need kapara. So, I mean, it could be either works without tshuva, or it could be any tshuva. But still, just because you do tshuva doesn't mean you have kapara. So you may have sins and do tshuva afterwards. They need kapara. So these karbanos, like us, we bring karbon. We need karbon for all together. Just do tshuva. But you see, there's a different thing. Kapara is you violated the system, and you're a chote, and you have to correct your mistake. So I guess the nations of the world also, they could break down the Shema of Sinach or whatever, and they need kapara. So they're being judged on rain, so these parim are brought on, the Jews bring them, but on behalf of the Shivumos, and apparently it works for them. I guess insofar as they, in fact, there's a, There's the Haftorah on the first day of Sukkot talks about how in the future, I guess in times of Mashiach, the nations of the world will all come to Yerushalayim on Sukkot, and they'll celebrate the Chag of Sukkot. So apparently it's a Chag for them as well, so it's good. It must be because of this, because the Chag is for them also, because they're judged on the water, which is a universal phenomenon for the entire world, and they're judged for the water on this Chag, and therefore the Chag of Sukkot is, and the ideas and the Karbanos of the Chag of Sukkot are a service to them as well. So it's funny though that it would still in the Pariah Chag you work downwards to show that they're going to be destroyed. You know, they're going to end up.
We want to help them.
We're helping them and we're hurting them.
What is this a year to Hashem before?
No, so I think that the answer to that question about that, on the one hand, we're trying to save them, the other hand, we're trying to hurt them, you know, it's still talking about them being destroyed. In that Haftorah also, it says is that not all the Goyim are going to make it. So, unless in the future, there will be some Goyim who basically who do tshuva and follow the Torah and follow the ideas of the Torah. And they are the ones who will come down to Chag HaSukkos, and they will celebrate Chag HaSukkos. They'll understand the idea of God in charge of the world. And then there are other guys who simply are not going to be chosen for tshuva. They're going to remain there in their evil ways, and they're going to be destroyed through some sort of battle, or God will bring about their destruction. So the saying is, even though the Umos HaOlam, the nations will have kapara, but not all of them. They're known as the Mismatim Vahochim. And it is interesting that you don't go down, it's hard to know these things, but you don't go all the way down to one. You go 13 down to about 7, or 7, 13, 12, 8, 10, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 7 to 7, 13 to 7. So they match up, right? So you go down to 7, which is about half. And the Haftorah there actually talks about halves. A lot of halves in that Haftorah. So I don't know. You can look at it. But it could be, it means they'll be wiped out. It means that the nations have to realize that it's a kapara for them, but not forever. It's not automatic. Some of them will make it and some of them won't make it. And that's part of the kapara, is they have to realize that they're being judged for the water and their existence is dependent upon their realization of God. And if they do, then they'll be saved. If not, then they're going to be destroyed. You know, so it brings to, in the kapara, it brings to mind that there's a kapara, they're being judged on rain, and it's dependent, their kapara is dependent upon the recognition of God, and if not, then they're going to be destroyed. So it sets it up to reflect the idea that, in the future, the Muslim will be with us, but not all of them. They will be diminished in number. Okay, but that's fine. Now, as an aside, I mean, just while we're here, I guess, is that it's funny, like, why is Sukkot the Chag of, the Chag of the nations? They'll come, because I was wondering this on this past Sukkot, it's just funny. This is the Chag that they come and celebrate. They don't celebrate, come and celebrate Pesach or Shavuos, you know. What?
Rebbe took it
out. Oh, he took it up. Yeah, I was thinking, Daniel said Rebbe had mentioned because they were celebrating the creation. It's like Lulav, and you're reflecting that God is the source of the Bria. I was thinking, I'm not against that, but an idea which is if you think back to the events which set up, which we're commemorating and thinking about on the Chag, on each of the Chag. So Pesach is for redemption, Gula. Sukkot is, Shavuos is for giving us the Torah. And Sukkot is for the fact that in the desert God protected us for 40 years in the desert. He gave us protection. So it seemed to me is that the idea of Torah and the idea of Geula are nationalistic ideas. They're ideas which relate to Klal Yisrael per se. They're like events that God gave us, the Jews, the Torah, and God brought us out of Mizraim. He's a Gol Yisrael. But the idea of the 40 years in the desert reflects the constant hashkacha that someone who's involved in Avodas Hashem, in the service of God, could have a hashkacha that their needs will be taken care of, that they'll have the huts and the proper protection. And it seems that that's an idea which I would think that anyone could partake of, even a goy who lives appropriately. Because so far as they're living a life of Avodas Hashem, so then, I mean, they're not going to be redeemed as a nation because there's one nation of Klal Yisrael, and they're not going to be given the Torah. But the hashkacha that a person will be assisted in so far as they're pursuing knowledge of God, then that would seem to be an idea which is appropriate for everybody. So the hashkacha which we're celebrating Chag HaSukkos isn't like a one-time event, but it's a constant hashkacha. And I think Rabbi said once, that's why the Ram says there's a simcha yisera, there's a special simcha, and more of a simcha on Sukkos than any other Chag. Because I think this is because it's simcha is for the hashgacha itself, which is a constant hashgacha, which is always present. And if that's the case, it could be that's why we're judged on mayim there, because mayim reflects the rain is just the basic, is our basic needs, like our sustenance. You know, the rain is basically the produce and the thing is growing. So it could be it's that that's the being judged on the water is an appropriate, fits into the idea of the hashgacha, which we reflect on Chag HaSukkos, which is the Be'ah Hashgacha for, you know, to give a person his need, a person who's involved in Torah, to give them their needs. So it could be that's why I'm just, you know, it's somewhat speculative, but it could be that's why the Ganyim are involved in it also, because it's not, that Chag particularly is really relevant to them as well. The Hashgacha of that Chag. Okay, so fine. But what does this have anything to do with Ner Chanukah? That's a problem, right? It's Haftorah. I think it's on Zechariah. I think it's Zechariah Dalad. I may be misremembering. But it's the first Haftorah on the first day of Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot. So, and of course, so one of the questions is, what does it have to do with, what's part of Chag have anything to do with Ner Chanukah? That we go down from 8 to 1 because they went down from 13 to 7. Sounds totally unrelated. And what's the other side of Ma'al Mekodesh Emoridin? Which is a good principle, but, you know, what insight could we gain from... and why is that... You could also ask, why is that like a Mahajim and a Mahajim? Like, if you tell me there's a universal principle of Ma'al Mekodesh Emoridin, that you go up and you don't go down, so fine, so they should just do that. I mean, what does it have to do with Mahajim and a Mahajim? I mean, it should be a Chachiv. You should have to do that. Right, and that's what just the chiyuv should be. Should be putting there the basic chiyuv. Why is it a level of mahajan and mahajan min mahajan? Is why is mahajan min mahajan because you're following a universal principle in Torah that in general ma'al mekodesh shel moridin. What does that? How does that make your mitzvah of Ner Chanukah the best possible way to do a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? And how does Beis Shammai, if it is such a principle, how does Beis Shammai even argue with that? I mean, that's the principle. Okay, so something like this is again combined with something Yehuda was saying. But the idea that, if I'll ask you a question is, we're trying to be Mepharsim in the Nes, right? To publicize the miracle of Ner Chanukah. We hold, apparently this is something which happened, and it's a one-time event that happened inside the Beis HaMikdash, but it shouldn't just be, apparently God changed the laws of nature for something, and it was apparently Chazal held that this is something that should be, eternalized in the minds of at least of the Jews, of the people doing the mitzvah. And through the mitzvah is a vehicle of publicizing this miracle and making people know about it. Now I'll ask you, who should know about it? Now, this is an idea which we learn about God and about the fact that God is involved in this world and has, although there are laws of nature, God has a will that man lives a certain type of way, and God assists them and alters the laws of nature at times to assist man and to bring man the good and to, you know, so who is that, for who is that idea relevant, and who do we want to know that idea? Which people? Correct, everyone. Okay, everyone. It's a trick question. Okay, everyone. Even Goyim. The Rav, I think, wanted to say that he proved that there's Pirsum. I think it's a famous question. Is Pirsum only for Jews or is it also for Goyim? I think the Rav proved it from the Rashi, which because it says Tamudai. What's that? Yeah, right. It says the Gemara says when do you the candles have to stay lit for? So it says from Shkia until the Kalya Ragla the Tamudai. Basically until the people are off the street. So it says what does that mean? It means until the people from Tamudai, so the name of a nation, aren't on the street anymore. So Rashi says what's Tamudai? Rashi says Shem Uma. It's the name of a nation. So you see, they're not Jews. The shame of a nation, it's a different nation. It's not the Jewish nation, it's a different nation. So you say that the time of, you have to light the candle so that it stays lit, not only through the time, I think they chopped wood or something, so they were out late. They sold wood to people, so they were out late. But the idea is that you have to, apparently the piersum, you know, that's the how long it has to last for. It has to last so that until the people from Tamudai are off the street. So apparently say that the piersum is not only for Jews, but it's even for the nations. I think that was the Rav's proof. I'm pretty sure. He said that's how you see that Pearson is even for Gaim. But the concept is, of course, because the idea of God and any idea about God is an idea for everybody. Yeah, but by the way, on the Pari HaChag, just to take a step back, that's why you see, for instance, I think when Shlomo dedicated the Beis HaMikdash, he made a point that it was for the nations of the world also. It's not only, as we say in the Pasuk, it's a Ki Beis Beis Tefila Yikrei L'Chol HaAmim, that the Beis HaMikdash is a Beis Tefila for everybody. It's not only for Jews. The Mikdash of the Beis HaMikdash is not only for Jews, it's for Goyim also. I think in there, in Malachim Aleph, I think Chas, something like that, where when Shlomo dedicates the Mishkans, he makes mention that, even he makes specific reference to even people from other nations. Okay, fine. So back to Pirsum now. So, so the idea is that the ideas of God in Torah does not just hold by some nationalistic pride and as if we are we're chosen and no one else matters and we don't care about anyone else, and as long as we have good ideas, who cares about that? So on the contrary, the idea of Pirsum Anes is saying that when we see this idea, we have to be moved to share this idea with everybody, with the entire world, with all of mankind. The person should have a love of all of God's creations, and we should person should realize this idea should be as public as possible for Jews and for non-Jews alike. And we're concerned about it. You see, for instance, in Rosh Hashanah, where a lot of the tefillos are talking about the whole world will recognize God. So the idea of Pirsum is not only for Jews, okay? It's for Goyim as well, and that's important. It's an important idea because it reflects the scope. Where Pirsum Anes is for the scope of the Pirsum is an important idea. And Pirsum is, are we posting just to Jews? Is it a limited idea that Jews should be living by or whatever? Or is this an idea which has applicability to the entire world? And the answer is it's for the entire world. So it could be that that's similar to the idea that Pari HaChag is that the Kaparo of the Beis HaMikdash is also the same kind of an idea, which is that points to that idea that in the Pari HaChag, the Karbanos, which are 70 altogether for the nations of the world, and the whole institution of Pari HaChag is an institution which reflects the idea that we're concerned about all the nations of the world, and that we have to be mechaper for all the nations of the world. So it could be is that, and also the idea that's I guess what Yehuda is mentioning is that the nations of the world were concerned about them and to give them kapara, but only some of them. There are some who basically are off the forget about it. They're goners and they're rishayim and they're not doing tshuva and they're mismatim v'holchem. They're going down. But there are others who we're concerned about and we have kapara for. So I say the same thing in Pirsum. Is that in publicizing the miracle, there are Goyim who basically are destroyed. And the Greeks, like as you were mentioning, the Greeks who we destroyed are destroyed, and that's it. We're not showing them the idea of Pirsum, they're killing them. They're I guess, not helpful. But the rest of the world, there's another segment of the world which we are concerned about, which are people who really will hear ideas about God and are willing to be moved by truth. And by knowledge. So it could be that basically Shammai's holding is that the number, the way in which you light candles should reflect, the sequence of the lighting should reflect the scope of Pirsum. That's why it's Mahajim and Hajim. Pirsum is, the mitzvah is to publicize the miracle. So the number of candles which are lit should reflect the scope of Pirsum Anes. The idea that when we're publicizing God, the idea of the miracle, it should bring to mind and should reflect the idea of the scope, that it's the Jews and non-Jews alike. Because the scope of Pirsum is a significant idea in Pirsum, which is that this is an idea which is really a significant idea for everybody. And it's a true idea, and being that it's true, it's not just a Jewish idea, it's a true idea, and it's for the entire world. So the idea of going down, of Pochus HaHolech, the fact that you're going down, brings to mind that to anyone who's... Well, I don't know if it means necessarily that a guy walking down the street is going to say, hey, going down? Well, that must be because Pari HaChag. I don't think people do that. But the idea is that if someone asks you, and if anyone would be doing Lev Beishama, they'd know that it's because Pari HaChag. In fact, this is interesting, is that if you look at this, the Gemara says a story. It says a nice little story here. It says, it's a funny story. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shnei Zekenim Hayu B'tzidan. There were two Zekenim, these old scholars, who were in this place Tzidan. Echad Asik Beishama, V'Echad Asik Beishama, V'Echad Asik Beishama. So one day like Beishama, one day like Beishama. Zeh no Saint Talmud Varv, can I get Pari HaChag? One of them, the one who did like Beishama, explained his reasoning. He said, because of Pari HaChag, V'Zeh no Saint Talmud Varv, D'mayelam Kod Shem Aridim. He said, the reason why I'm doing it is because I'm a Kodesh Amoridim. So this is a funny Gemara. Because, why is it a funny Gemara? Okay, so that's one reason why it's funny, is that in general, you're not allowed to go like Bishamai. There's a Psak. Psak is like Bishamai, and that's it. The Ritva deals with that. The Be'er Halacha brings it down. But it says that since this is only Hidur, it's only an enhancement, so in that area you're allowed to do like Bishamai. Okay, which maybe we'll explain a little further, but that's what he says. But it's funny anyways. Why else is it funny? Right, that's funny. Yeah, what's the point of the story? What does this tell us? It's funny. So he's telling a story. There were two rabbis, one guy who did Bishamai, and not only did he do it, he explained it. If anyone asked him, he explained it. And well, is that abnormal? Or is that, like, what does that mean, he explained it? Like, did he... It means if someone asked him, or was this his reasoning, or, I mean, of course, that's Beis Shammai's reasoning. It's Parayach Hag, and that's Beis Hillel's reasoning because of Malam HaKodesh. I mean, unless you'll say it's just showing that they go like this, I mean, you could say that it's showing that they held like that way, as opposed to the, you know, the Yom HaNachlasim yesterday's ideas. You know, but like, what's the, like, what does it mean they said? Zendos in Talmudvar. But according to what we're saying is that the idea of Mahajan and Mahajan here, is yesterday's ideas also, which is not that, just that, so there's some like special thing. You light this number of candles, and that brings you salvation, or that's good. But the idea is because of the concepts which are involved in doing it. So in other words, you're enhancing the piersum because you're attaching to the piersum and bringing into play into the piersum concepts about piersum. So it's not just that we're publicizing miracle, but we're talking about what are the ideas about piersum. We're talking about the scope of the piersum. So it's a kiyum that, like we said, who's going to necessarily know by seeing the thing that's Parayach Hag? Well, he explained it. And the explanation itself is actually a kiyum in the mitzvah. It's not just... See, normally you say, of course, you do... What you're reasoning for a thing is extraneous to the halacha. It's nothing to do with it. I mean, your reasoning halacha is halacha. But here, the whole idea is piersum, and you're trying to publicize the miracle and to publicize concepts and ideas about the miracle. So the thing is that it's significant that they didn't just do it, but they explained what they were doing. They held by this idea and they explained it, and the explanation itself is a component of the thing. So just addressing the point that you'll say, who knows what you're doing? No, you should know. That's if you're doing like Beis Shammai and that's the psak, it should be, the idea should be brought out. It's because Parayach Hag, and Parayach Hag is, that there's a concept in Parayach Hag, and presumably explain the idea. So that's Beis Shammai. That's what it sounds like. I mean, it could be that's what Ritva means, where he says that it's just Hidur. Because it means that the idea is that you're enhancing, that you have the mitzvah of the piersum, and you're enhancing the piersum by attaching an idea to it. So if you're chayev to do that, then of course you can't just go like Beis Shammai. But no, the idea is, it's not, you know, holds you chayev to even do this thing altogether. So if you are moved by the idea of Beis Shammai, and you hold by that idea, and you want to bring out that concept in your hadlakas on Eros, so the saying is, you have a right to do that. You have a right to do that. See, if it weren't Hidur, if it were just the chiyuv that you had to do this thing, then you could never say such a thing. But here, the whole idea is that it's enhancing the whole piersum, and that brings out the concepts of the piersum. So the saying is, there are two zakanim, each of which, whatever, like that idea, or in other words, because there's no real psak here, because the thing is, it's a matter of mahadrin. It's the whole thing itself isn't mandatory. So, like, I'm not sure if it's a good question, is with the Ritva's point that it's because it's only Hidur, would that apply by other, you know, by any time that it's Hidur that you have a right to go like Beis Shammai, or is it because of the unique nature of what's going on here? But I'm saying this is halachic because the nature of the thing is piersum, so this is included in piersum. It's not just a philosophical kiyum, but it actually is an enhancement of the Hidur itself, of the piersum itself. But I'm not sure. I was thinking that also. Point. That's why Matt asked the question, is that it's going to be funny because in one town you can have some people doing 1, 2, 3, 4 and other people doing 8, 7, 6. So it's going to get everyone confused, and maybe it's even less of a scope to do that. You're not allowed to make groups of psak within one town. But Ariel points out, yeah, but you can have some people doing the basic level, some people doing Mahadran, some people doing Mahadran and Mahadran. You can have all different things going on. So apparently you'll say is that the piersum is, there are different ideas in the mitzvah, and everyone knows that there are different ways to do it and different ideas, and you're mefarsim the nes, and you could choose, the person has the right, based upon what they want to do, to choose which idea to be reflecting. So since you see that there are choices, it could be that these guys love figured, you see the nature of the mitzvah, so I can go like Beis Shammai as well. Because this is the nature of the mitzvah, is it doesn't have a specific tefillin. But the Chum set up the mitzvah and set up different ideas which could be reflected as enhancements of the piersum.
I wonder if it was like...
I mean, Daniel's saying it could be it was orchestrated that they did both ways. Maybe they wanted to explain both ideas because they're both good ideas. So why should it be that everyone only does one idea? Maybe in Sidon they said, I'll go around doing my way and I'll explain my idea your way. Of course, they're both good ideas. They're not mutually exclusive. We don't yet know the idea from Malam HaKodesh, by the way. We didn't do that yet, right? But whatever. You can imagine. Soon will be good. It'll be a good one. But yesterday's idea is also. That's why what I am learning is that you can do the same thing if they were saying the other reasons. I don't know why they picked. It could just be they held out as the Mahlokas. But yesterday's reasons also, you would want to explain them. I mean, it's very interesting. The whole thing. It's like all gives a whole new understanding to the Mitzvah of Hanukkah, you know, and what we're doing when you do 1, 2, 3. You know, there should be ideas and discussions and concepts which are brought up by the Mitzvah. And, you know, so in a basic way, I mean, it's halacha is halacha, like any other halacha, but it's like the ideas are a real component to the mitzvah itself. In Mahajan and Mahajan, if you want just the basic mitzvah, you don't have to have anything. But what I'm saying is that even in Mahajan and Mahajan, you should have the ideas. I know it's not Mahakev, I guess, but I mean, the ideas are sort of are part of the thing, and that's what the story they want to show you. And that's, I think, the main idea of the story. The one idea. It could be the Hashanah Hill thing, but I think also, it's telling you a story that they explained it. Explaining is not normally a halachic phenomenon. You know, it's behind the halacha. Here, that's actually part of the halacha. It would seem, like, according to this, it would be a kiyum to talk about the ideas, you know, insofar as you're doing it. So I guess for tomorrow we have what's this idea of tomorrow's normal, right, I think? Ma'al Mekodesh. Right, what's that idea? What's the concept of Ma'al Mekodesh and we're reading? And hopefully we can make it fit into this type of thing, you know, but at least some idea what the principle is and how it fits into Ner Chanukah. Maybe you can round out the Machlokas. And then I'd like to do, well, maybe I'll just mention the point Daniel mentioned yesterday. It's a good point. Is the question he asked was about the need for the Nes of Ner Chanukah, because I was saying is that my original question was who needs the thing altogether. If they can't do the candles, they can't do the candles, so they won't do it for a few days. Big deal. So it's on us. You can't do it. But Daniel's question, which apparently it's asked, which is that why don't you say that you're allowed to do it, Betumah? Because there's Neros or Dochatoma. That even though it's Tameh, you're still allowed to do it. And it's an open Rambam. It's in B.S. Tamidim Musafim 3:10. Gimel Yod.
What was the question?
Says that you're allowed to, the halacha is that you're allowed to, the mitzvah of lighting the Neros, Halakas Neros in the Mikdash, is Dochatoma. So you're allowed to do it even if there's Tameh. If you can't do it with Tyro, you're allowed to do it with Tameh. So they really would have, let's say they didn't find, this miracle didn't happen. So they would have used the tummy oil. I don't see any of that. It sounds that way from that halakha and the Rambam. So what's the big deal? The whole thing is hard to understand. I mean, they would have done it. Right? Simple. No problems. And they want to say, so on the, they think they said the name Beis Halevi, Art School brought it down, that you could have used thinner wicks. And then it would have drawn the oil more slowly, and it would have also, I don't know how he knows that, but that's also, you know. Maybe it's if it's right. I mean, also, you know. I mean, no. So I think the idea we were saying yesterday explains it well, which is that they wanted to make it clear. What happened was is that there was this military victory, and the military victory was not just again just a nationalistic military victory, but it's the Sham Biad Tzadikim V'Yitzin Biad Oskei Sarasacha. So the idea is that God gave over, it's a victory of tzaddikim over Rashaim, of Oskei Sarasecha against Zedim. The idea is that it's the evildoers versus people who are involved in Avodas Hashem. And the objective of the Nes was to assist, to bring Klal Yisrael back to being able to be over the Hashem. And that's recognized, the highest level of the Hashem is that of the Mikdash. So to manifest that was the purpose of the military victory, and there was a miraculous victory itself, we were highly outnumbered, so there was a manifest that it wasn't just for the sake of, you know, militarism or, you know, might, but it's for the sake of the Mikdash. It was important that the military victory enabled the realization of the Avodah Beis HaMikdash in its highest form. And if we would do it b'toma, it's true you'd be allowed to do it b'toma. If we were toma, you'd be allowed to do it. But that would mean, so to speak, the Greeks still had their mark on us. We're doing it b'toma because of the toma of the Greeks. And you see, they call them tmeim. Like there was, the idea is we'd still be, it would be like the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash would be minimized or affected. Because it's done b'toma, it means, the idea that you're not allowed to do it b'toma means that it's lacking if it's b'toma. It's just that it's more important, so to speak. It's docha. The mitzvah goes, even though we're tamei, and even though it's tamo, we're still allowed to. You still do it anyways. You don't push it off. But you see, but it would be betoma. And that would mean that it wasn't a complete victory. The victory, they managed to make their mark on our Avodah Mikdash. But the idea that salvation was complete, and total and complete, and we were able to do the mitzvah to do the mitzvah properly in the highest form, b'taira, and with the proper amount of oil, with the proper wicks, the proper, the whole deal is that the mitzvah, the fullest, the highest, the nes enabled the highest level of Avodas Hashem, and with all the ideas, and that was important. I mean, we would have done it anyways. It's true, but then it wouldn't have the idea that the nes is enabling and the military victory and the whole thing is enabling the highest level of Avodah. So I think that's a good answer. Yeah, okay, right. So for tomorrow, so I guess we have to round off Ma'al Mikodesh, right, which is, that idea. And then I'd like to do is then to go back to, it's a funny order we're doing here, but what is the idea of Ner Shebeisa, which is a basic mitzvah? It's a funny mitzvah. Is it a chiv on the bias? Is it a chiv on the person? Like, it's just a funny type of a mitzvah. Like, if, for instance, let's say someone in my house lights for me. Like, are they my shliach? Or are they, like, what? Like, why don't you say, look, I have the light. So who cares if they lit for me in my house? But how am I yotzei my mitzvah? Like, what's the formulation? Like, I think we could use a good definition here. Like, what's the idea of Ner Shebeisa? So how does it, mitzvahs done? There are mitzvahs that work that way, but what's the definition of it? You say mezuzah, perhaps, or Ner Shabbos, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. And it's well, a bit.
It's true, but you have to do adlaka, I mean.
Right.
So, I mean, you don't light, your mother lights or whatever, or that's when yeshiva lights, so.
Right.
But you can't just say, look, there's light. You have to actually light. There's a mitzvah, so. But let's focus on this one. I mean, perhaps, this could be, you think about those as good models, but. And then, I don't have an idea yet for this, but I guess we'll try to work our way to Mahadran. We skipped that one, right? And I don't know what we'll do, but I'd like to do after that, if we have time. Is there's Machlokes Rishonim whether Mahadran and a Mahadran builds on Mahadran or they're independent. That's Tosos and the Ramam. I mean, I think a lot of Rishonim talk about it. If you look at Rishonim, that's what they talk about in the Sugya.
Can you explain why you have
There's also an interesting question. There's another Machlokes, which maybe we'll take up, is what does Mahadran mean? Rashi says it means Mahadran Achar Mitzvos, those who seek after Mitzvos. Okay? But the Rambam learns it's Hidur Mitzvah, which is like beautifying a mitzvah. Hidur Mitzvah. The Tosas also. I think the Ran also. So what's the question? I mean, presumably it's a different idea. It's different. What's the point of these things? According to Rashi, it's seeking after mitzvahs. According to the Rambam, and Tosas is beautifying a mitzvah. So there's Machlokas there. So perhaps we could explain that also. So I don't really know exactly which path we'll take. Definitely, I think the thing I want to start with is the Ma'al Mekodesh, though. I'll work somewhere from there. Question Danielle's mentioning, why is it Ma'al Mekodesh? I mean, it's going up, you're just throwing more candles, big deal. That's not, it's just more numbers. Is number necessarily better? Or, it's, as we explained, going up to Kedusha, high level Kedusha, I understand, but what is it? You're just going from one, is it more Kodesh to 8 as opposed to 1?